Dan juga staga puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sada, virya, then pay respect mindfully. We will chant the, what they call Mahayana tradition, followed by Theravada tradition. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Give your pure respect to the Triple Gem, the Thai Star. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, now you can be seated. Turn to page 4 of our chanting book. We will start off with the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapama datana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We will now chant the padipa puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamandang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupenahang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang පූජා බචනමුත්තමං වන්න ගන්ධ ගුණෝපේතං ඒතං කසුමසන්තතින් පූජයාමි මොනින්දස සීරිපාද සරෝරෝහේ පූජේමි බුතං කසුමේනානේන පුන්නේන මතේන ච හෝතු මොකං පූපං මිලයති යත්තා ඉදං මේ කායෝ තතයති විනාසභාවං ආදිවාසේතු නොබන්තේ පනියං පරිකාපිතං අනුකම්පං උපාදාය පාතිගන් හතු මුත්තමං Get on to page 18, the last page. We will make our aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make this aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now pay homage to the Trupa Jam. Buddhang pujebe. Dhammang pujebe. Sanghang pujebe. Okay, thank you. Now, you all can be seated. We will off the light so that you can have about 15 to 20 minutes of meditation. I think everybody is here before, so that might be how I will off that one. It's okay, I will do it. Well, there is one light outside. If you off that one, it becomes too dark. Okay. Yeah. Since everybody is here before, yeah, you can just start your meditation. Anybody who is first time here, completely new? No, good. Okay. So you can start your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 or 20 minutes time. Yeah. You can actually develop the appropriate training of mind. If you need to decondition the heedless thinking, then you start off with the mind sweeping method followed by metta. Read the blue book. Then after that, when you are more calm and more peaceful, you have to develop a skillful mean to stabilize that silent mind or mindfulness. You can either use anapanasati if you don't have any object of meditation, or whatever object of meditation that you can develop mindfulness on, you just silence your mind and maintain attention on the object of meditation. Then just allow your mind, sati, the silent mind, to be aware of the object of meditation. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Just like you pay attention to your forehead, now you pay attention to your breathing if you are doing anapanasati. In front of your nostril, just silent, aware. Then the moment the mind detects the breathing, just follow. Mind and breath move as one. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. In perfect harmony and synchrony. Every time you want the song, you bring it back. Not long, anapanasati will stabilize and your mind will become very calm, very peaceful, and the spiritual faculties of sati will lead to the spiritual faculty of the enlightenment factor of piti. So sati, when stabilized, will develop samadhi. Then as you continue to relax, all of the mind state, which is a byproduct of training your mind, they will arise. The calm and peaceful mind will give rise to piti, which is a spiritual joy or rapture. Then piti, if you continue to relax into it, it will become more refined. Then you will experience a very blissful state called sukha. And as you go through sukha, you continue to relax and maintain awareness. It will transform further until it becomes very quiet. Then you hit pasati. Pasati is a very important state. This is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. This is the mind that doesn't think, doesn't chatter, doesn't arise thought. It is just silent and aware. That's why that tranquility was set in, the stillness was set in. Then such a mind is the meditative mind. You just relax and silent. Then this mind can understand many, many things. Whatever that arise within your five aggregate of form and mind, the silent mind will be aware. All the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught, you will come to understand them very clearly. So this is what training the mind is all about, meditation. So you just relax, aware, silent. After you have trained, no need to do anything. Just relax, silent, and just maintain awareness. Then whatever that you can pick up through the silent mind, you will come to develop clear understanding of who you are, what you are, what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then who are you and what are you? You will come to understand them very clearly. Okay, now I will leave it to you to meditate. Then later on, I will ring the bell after about 15 over minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. We will now turn to page 6, do the invocation to the devas to join us in the Dhamma sharing. I will read the English translation, then I will chant the Pali, then we will chant together the Vandana. Invocations to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjalikaraneyo, Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start. So today we're supposed to continue from where we stopped. The last lesson, we were at page 1, page 5, 6 already actually. We finished page 5 now. We were at page 6. Okay, before we go into page 6, before we continue, maybe you turn to the first page, where we will read the opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta that is before page 1, just before page 1. There is a swastika, reverse sign of a swastika, which is the Buddhist symbol. Verse for opening a sutta, we recite together. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this one, for those who are new, I have to explain a bit. So this is a very good reminder to all cultivators, that the true Dhamma, the profound Dhamma, especially a lot of this very special sutta, Mahayana sutta. The Mahayana knew that it is very, very difficult to encounter such Dhamma. So the opening verse will tell you the unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma means this Dhamma is very special. They are so unique because it is very profound and wonderful. And actually, if you check around in this universe, the truth, there are very few that can match this type of truth. So that's why it's called unsurpassed. Then this Dhamma, which is profound and wonderful, is difficult to encounter. Even in hundreds of millions of eons, not only one eon, no, hundreds of millions of eons. And this is really true if in terms of samsara time. If you really miss the window, it can be pretty long. That's why they vow, I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it. I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. The reason being, like, Samasambuddha Sakyamuni, he did mention when he was around, he said not every world cycle there is a Samasambuddha. Certain world cycle there is none. Certain world cycle there may be one. Then certain world cycle there may be two, three. But ours is Jambuvapi, or our so-called present universe, we are quite lucky. And according to Sakyamuni Buddha, there will be four before it actually cease or disintegrate. Sakyamuni Buddha is the third. That's why after him, there will be one more, Maitreya Buddha, predicted to come. So this universe of ours is indeed very unique. We are blessed with four Samasambuddha. And every of this universe, when they arise, then they go through the growth phase, then the degeneration phase, then the ending phase. it can take a very long time. And because of that, sometimes even Sakyamuni Buddha, his perfection and cultivation was already considered very fast, the wisdom way. It took him 3¾ asaṅkhaya kappas to actually realize Sammasambuddhahood. Means he has gone through a lot of aeons and aeons of world cycle. So this opening statement is to remind all of cultivators not to miss this window when the Buddha Sasana is still around, when these teachings are still around. So we are indeed very fortunate, born as a human being during Sakyamuni Buddha Sasana. The Sasana still got another 2,400 years to go. It's predicted to last 5,000 years. So we have surpassed the 2006, so another 2004. This window, once you miss, it will be very, very long before another Sammasambuddha come to be, and before the Dhamma can actually come into the world again. So this sasana, which is only 5,000 years, if you were to compare it with universal time, is actually like a glimpse in the entire universe time. So 5,000 years is a very small window, compared to the eons and eons and eons of existence. So if you miss this, that's why it's very difficult to come by. So Mahayana practitioner, if they are serious about the cultivation, they will always hold on to this, and they will determine seriously within their mind and heart not to allow this golden opportunity or window of opportunity to slip by. So this is just for those who are new. Okay, now we turn to page 6. Before we continue, do you have any meditation question or any related question? Anybody wants to report their meditation or ask anything? Pass the mic, wireless mic to Susan. You can ask. No problem.
Brother Teo is not on meditation.
Yeah, it's okay.
Anything. Just now, Brother Teo says that in this era, there are four Buddhas.
Not this era. This world cycle. Jambuwapi world cycle. Means our present universe.
Right. But according to the Theravada text, there are five Buddhas. Is it?
I don't know. I also read from the Theravada, I was told four.
One is Kakusanda, Buddha. Konagama is second. Kashyapa is third.
Gautama was the third. I'm not very sure. Maybe you are right.
And Arimiya is the fifth.
Maitreya. Maitreya is the last one. Could be right. I could have mixed it up. Four or five, I'm not very sure, but I remember not so many. Maybe you are right. You all can check it out. I'm not very sure. This one, I should admit, I'm not very sure. But all the while, I can recall it was four. Sakyamuni was the third, but I'm not very sure. I know before Sakyamuni was Kassapa. The first two, I don't know. Kakusanda. Maybe you are right. Means this universe is really blessed. We got five. Sammasambuddha. Usually it's not that many. If you have 1, 2, it's already considered good. 3 is a blessing already. 4 is already super lucky. But to have 5 is really indeed a very unique universe. Anyway, thank you for sharing what you have read. I'm not very sure this one, I have to admit. You all check the text and let me know next Tuesday. That will be very, very useful, so that I don't make the same mistake again. I can recall. No. Because very likely you are right, because you can even name the Buddha's name. So for you to have that ability, you must have read it somewhere. Then you must have affinity with those names. Otherwise, not easy to actually remember those names. Especially the first two. I haven't heard of one. The first two. But Kāsapa, Shakyamuni, all these are more common terms. They are more easy to relate. The first two that you name, I first time heard about it, because I didn't really go into detail. So what happened is, if you have read, then you may have better knowledge. But sometimes the scripture or the Tipitaka, actually different version is different. No? So you have to be careful. But not important whether it's 4 or 5, you know that we are very blessed. We have some word system, none, can be so bad. Then some only have 1 Sama Samudra. That's why the arising of a Sama Samudra is indeed very, very rare. That was what Shakyamuni mentioned, is it? Whenever there is a Sama Samudra, there will be a lot of blessings. Then a lot of people will rejoice, because it's a great, unique occasion to rejoice, because it's very, very rare. The arising of a Sama Samudra. There are many recorded sutta in the Mahayana that talk about all these Buddhas. But the most widely written one is still from Shakyamuni. Because this era is Shakyamuni Buddha. So a lot of the Mahayana sutta, actually, most of them came from Shakyamuni. Even the Amitabha Buddha that describe about Amitabha land and Amitabha's cultivation, everything was spoken by Shakyamuni Buddha. Then you read most of the sutta, especially Theravada, is all from Ananda, who actually remember them, commit to memory. Then after the passing away of the Buddha, they actually put it in, commit it to memory, then later to written form. They actually reclassified the teaching and put them into what they call the Tipitaka, or the three basket or division of teaching. So all this, they are documentary, what they call records, as you know. Over the years, as it's passed down, recorded, there will be occasion for interpretation or for the whatever meaning to actually differ. And sometimes it runs, because it's translated into many languages. So even the original Sanskrit version, or Pali version. That's why the traditional orthodox Theravada, they actually did a good job in preserving the authenticity of the Pali chanting, because they are very, very orthodox. You know what is orthodox, eh? They hold on to the elders' teaching. They, whatever, not sure, they don't want to have anything to do with it, they chop it off. They say, we don't want to include. So the orthodox teaching, which is Theravada, then later on they call it the Theravada, because Thera refers to the elders. I think monks who have more than 20 years, they can have the title of Theras, if you are already ordained for more than 20 bangsa or 20 years, they call you Thera. So Thera are the division of the elders, or the orthodox division. Whereas in the olden days, Theravada tradition, they don't like the name. They go and give him the name Hinayana. Hina is small vehicle, Yana is vehicle. Then the next one, is, they call it Mahayana, the great vehicle. So they don't like, they change it to Thera, the teaching of the elders, the conservative orthodox teaching. And because of that, a lot of very authentic Pali chanting or wordings, they are still authentic because transmitted through chanting. True chanting is not a word of mouth, no. Understand? Like your school song, if you day in, day out, every week also chant, it won't go wrong. After how long or so, the moment the music come out, you know how to recite and chant already. Even my school song, I still can remember. Then our university college song also. So, like your Nagaraku, but they go and change the rhythm and all those things. Otherwise, it will remain the same. So, to preserve, you need chanting, repetitive. So, because of that, Theravada did a good record. Then, when it comes to Mahayana, most of it is translated. When he went over to China after Bodhidharma, Tapmo, Bodhidharma. It was translated to Mandarin. That's why Mahayana, you read the sutta, a lot of the basic Theravada teaching, they either expand on it or it has run a little bit, and not the original authentic. But most of it has developed quite well. There are some, they have done some improvement over it. Like the second noble truth, they put in and translate as accumulation. It actually has a great advantage and a lot of meaning. Basically, the original second noble truth, as proclaimed by Sakyamuni Buddha, as recorded in the Theravada tradition, is Samudaya, the cause of arising of suffering, which is correct. But when Mahayana translate the second noble truth, they call it accumulation. That's why it's Ku Ji Mie Tao. Ji is accumulation. So cause of arising of suffering, if you understand, is actually accumulation. When you accumulate your karmic negativity, when you accumulate all of your what they call negative tendency or defilement, this is a cause of suffering. Because without accumulation, there is no record or memory. But because you accumulate and hold them in your brain, your memory, this is what accumulation is all about. But if you work like a computer, then there is no accumulation. Computer, you know, all the chips, they are memory chips in it. That's why these are called random access memory chip, RAM. Random access means when you need, you go and take it out. That's why computer is not emotional. They don't have psychological problem. Human being different. No? Human being, you go and accumulate and attach. No? And you go and think, that's why you create thought, then you project or recall the unhappy past, scars or memory. Then you become emotional, you deludedly grasp and cling. So all this accumulation becomes condition for you to create thought. And thought is fire aggregate of form and mind. When you deludedly grasp and cling, they become grasping aggregate. That's why that is what suffering is all about, the Buddha said. In short, the final summary of the first noble truth. It is due to your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling, which is craving, that I call dukkha. So the five aggregate of grasping, upadana khandas, the condition suffering. So without accumulation, there is no memory, there is no thought, there is no sakkāditti, there is no egoic mind. That's why suffering cannot arise, all of craving no more. So Mahayana actually expanded on that quite well. Then when Huineng came, Sixth Patriarch, they actually took the teaching beyond the Theravada tradition. Because during the Buddha's time, some of the disciples who are very close to the Buddha, they actually walking the Bodhisattva way. They are cultivating the Bodhisattva way with the vow to develop the full enlightenment, to become a Sammasambuddha. So because of that, they actually penetrated the true mind. But during the time of Shakyamuni Buddha early period, when he taught the Dhamma, his emphasis was on sainthood. Because he seldom, in his 40 over years of sharing, talk about Bodhisattva way, except when he mentioned about his own story, how he became a Sammasambuddha, how he cultivated the 10 perfection and all those things. But he never really go deeper than that to teach people how to do it. But the Mahayana has those teachings. And they are very unique in a sense. So because of that, when Huineng arise, he straight away point towards the true mind, that true nature. That's why his teaching is very penetrative. That's why you read the Sixth Patriarch Sutta or Platform Sutta, Liu Zhu Tan Jing. You will come to know that because of him, the Sixth Patriarch, Mahayana took the Buddhist teaching to another level, which actually other religion cannot match at all. So because of that, we are indeed very fortunate if we look at it from that point of view. Even though there is like division initially, Theravada, then Mahayana, then later Vajrayana and all things. But the essential basic teaching are the same, they expanded. So if you take the essence, the essential basic teaching and expand on it, you will benefit. So coming back to our sharing, whether 4 or 5, I leave it to you all to check it out. Then maybe next Tuesday somebody can let me know. Our class is on next Tuesday, but the following week I will not be around, 5th to 10th July. Make a note. So that week, Tuesday class, Thursday class, even Sunday class also cancel, I think. 5th until 10th of July. Take a note. Okay. So we continue. Oh, I almost forgot. Just now before we start, somehow we were discussing about this thing. I think it's very useful to share this. The art of listening. Alicia was also asking, and earlier on, before we actually finish our dinner today. She came with Freddy and joined us, invite us for dinner. So we were discussing some Dhamma. Then she mentioned about this particular topic, is it? I like what Brother Teo always say, the art of listening. You must have this understanding of how to listen to people and to Dhamma. And also because last Sunday, Wu Ping Jing Sir, there was a lady, I think Man Yuan's schoolmate, I think, long time friend. She was new. She joined Man Yuan and participated in the Dhamma sharing at Wu Ping Jing Sir. Then she asked some very good question too. So I need to explain about open mind. Then the art of listening. Because if you don't have open mind, you cannot listen. So what is the meaning of the art of listening? If you were to ask yourself, the human mind, before you develop the Dhamma understanding, before you train the mind, most of them, unless they are enlightened, they are heedless. True or not? Heedless in that sense. In the sense that they are hardly aware or never aware, seldom aware. They think a lot. They worry a lot. Then they go about living life using thought. So thought almost occupy 90% of their life. They are seldom silent, seldom aware or peaceful. So if you already have this type of heedless way of living, it arises because of habitual tendency, because you have a lot of mental hindrance. The spiritual faculties are not there and you have not developed them. So with such a mind, you tend to be very intellectual, very technical, or you use a lot of knowledge. So when you listen, you are not really listening. Well, most of the time, you have your accumulated memory or experiences. Then your memory has these views and opinion and conditioning that you already mold inside there. To you, you have your own reference of right and wrong, good and bad, and all those things. So when you listen according to this accumulated memory, what do you do? Are you listening? You cannot be listening. Why? As you listen, you not only judge, you chatter, verbalize, comment, and react. Means you are not listening. To you, you always use your conditioned mind to listen. Means there is always right or wrong, good or bad. Whether this is in accordance with what I was told or what I believe, or whether it's different. Means what? Your mind is preoccupied with this reaction, judgment, thinking, chattering. Means you are not listening. So a mind that is heedless, that think a lot, that want to compare, want to judge, comment and react, such a mind cannot listen. When you listen means you are attentive. Listener, you are attentive. Attentive means what? No thought. No thought means what? You are not interfering with the listening. You just listen. You are not interested in right or wrong. You just want to understand what has been shared and what has been spoken. Then you give yourself a chance to assimilate, to receive whatever sharing or teaching. Then after that, you can, what they call, make a decision like the Buddha's advice in to the Kalamas. Yeah? If I follow what the teaching said, will it harm me when I cultivate it, or will it harm others? You have to apply this Kalama Sutta advice to even your thought, understand? Or? Your thought, which is the conditioned thought that you use in your daily life. If the thought asks you to get angry, or the thought project and make you fearful, if you think that thought, does it harm you? Does it harm others? If it harm you and harm others, it's wrong thought. Thought that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. That's why all the thought that has the evil roots, that has delusion and all. Whatever thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, these are all wrong thought. Unfit for attention. Otherwise, you will not progress along the spiritual path. So, when you start to understand all this, then you will know how to listen. Means, you listen to your own thinking, your own mental chattering, your own, what they call, deluded thought, telling you all the story. This is still listening, no? Not only listen to Brother Theo or any monk or any teacher, no? So the art of listening is to silent, maintain attentiveness and listen, or be aware of what is going on, then how your form and mind reacts to and create all those negativity. So when you listen and at the same time have your views and opinion, you are not listening at all, because you are being judgmental, discriminative. You are not impartial. You don't give whatever that is spoken a chance to be understood or assimilated. Just like I mentioned earlier on, the example is, if you are busy thinking, planning and worrying about your life, commenting, reacting, so your mind is preoccupied with all this thought process, then when it's preoccupied with this thinking and thought process, certain thought will stir your emotion, understand? Then you not only lost in thought, no, preoccupied with this thinking, no, you get involved in it, no. Then you become emotional over it, no. You develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the jealousy, the unhappiness, or the heedless, what they call, reaction, no. So when you are doing all this in the midst of life, I ask you one simple question. How can you be aware of life? How can you be aware of what is happening within the moment, the reality? Because the moment is the only reality, and moment to moment it slips away, passes by. If you are not attentively silent to be aware of what is going on, you cannot live life. You cannot be mindful, you cannot be heedful, you cannot be attentive, and you are never peaceful because you think a lot. Your mind always react and stir, that's why the habitual tendency make you like that. Then you develop the hindrance of mind, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling and emotion. Then your mind become restless because you think too much, you worry too much. Then throughout the day, when you hold on to so many things and give so much meaning to everything that arises within the six sense door, you are being heedless. You no longer peaceful. Your mind is hardly aware and silent. So because of that, you don't have peace. That's why restlessness is one of the hindrances of mind, and this is very predominant in living beings' mind. Especially Puttujana, those living beings that are still not enlightened. So the mind that is heedless, think a lot, hardly aware and mindful, such a mind to the Buddha, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead, you don't have a chance. That's why you have to train your mind to have more and more moment of silence and peace, to be aware, not to think. Then from a heedful way of living, from the heedless way of living, you will have to try to decondition your heedless thinking and transform your mind to develop the habits of heedfulness, to be more and more aware of your action and movement, your form posture in daily life, aware of whatever that is going on within the immediate moment, so that you are more and more with your kaya, more and more with the moment. When you are with your kaya, which is always in the present moment, there is no thought. Then when there is no thought, you are being heedful, you are being aware. Means there is clarity, there is peace, there is stillness, there is tranquility. The mind that is without thought got no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no negative state, no emotion, nothing. Just quiet, still. That's why silent mind, the meditative mind, is very important. That is the mind that is aware, heedful, peaceful, has clarity. Then it can see things as they are to develop the wisdom. That's why meditation is about training this mind to be aware, to be heedful, to reverse the heedless thinking. Then when you are heedful, you can listen attentively because you don't arise any unnecessary thought. Then like I give the example, when you want to feel something, even the floor or what, you put your hand down, you will know. If you think, your mind is lost in thought, hardly aware, then there is a big gap between awareness and thinking. Then every time you want to be aware, because you cannot stop thinking, the thought actually come and interfere. Then you don't really feel. You feel with the thought. You are not silent. But when you are completely silent, that sensation got no words on. No concept, no idea, no labeling on. The true tactile consciousness, the true movement there, the silent mind will understand. That is the real feeling that you really feel. That's why to be sensitive, you must be silent. To be aware, you must be silent. That's why meditation is about silence, nothing else. And the art of listening is about silence. Can you listen attentively without commenting? Just listen. Then whatever that is suitable, useful, does not harm you and harm others, make use of it. That is the art of listening. Then you are open for ideas. You are open to receive truth. Otherwise, like the Zen analogy, the Chinese tea in the cup, if it's full, whatever people pour in, overflow. Where you don't give it the space to actually occupy. You don't give yourself a chance to listen to new things. Where you hold on to your views and opinion and your conditioning. So you become like very rigid in your approach. You do not give yourself a chance. Because as you go through life, you will come to understand. Every phase, you learn new things. And especially when we are young, we will come to know that all these are very childish things. There are a lot of things we don't understand. Then as we grow up, we learn more and more through education. Then we come to know a lot of superstition and all those things, no scientific basis and all those things. Then we step into life. Then we come to understand a lot of things which we believe earlier on to be the truth. Later on, it's no more the truth. Like the ancient people, they thought every time there is a thunder means what? God is angry. Because they cannot understand. Then they saw earth everywhere got land flat. You say earth is round. They say you something wrong up here, put you into jail. Then they say earth is not the center of our universe or center of our solar system, they thought man is very special. God created man, that's why man is very special. They never say God created woman, man. Then what happened? You think you are special, so you think this Mother Earth is special. That's why when science progress, they realize all their belief system in God, everything go haywire. Then when you say God created day and night, within 7 days, God created the world and all those things. Then you realize, the scientists will tell you, day and night, nothing to do with God. Understand? It's a very, very natural happening, because our planet rotates on the axis. Understand? And we are going around the sun. So, actually, Mother Earth rotates on its axis around the sun. Every cycle or movement, one complete movement, is a calendar year, which is 365 1/4 days. So all this can be proven. Then as we develop more and more understanding, we realize everything that we have learned early on start to become more and more obsolete. Even now today, technology has become so different. Your iPhone is so powerful. Computer is no longer like before. Mainframe, giant size, very slow. Now small floor, very powerful. And can actually process data so fast. So we are evolving. We are developing new understanding. So what happened if you are of the rigid tradition, the old tradition, who refuse to learn new things? You always hold on to your views and opinion and shut yourself off and refuse to give new things a chance to even enter your mind for you to learn. You will remain backward in it. Correct or not? You will never progress. Because progress is about understanding new things. New things that has basis, that has actually been proven. That's why the moment scientists understand something, they break through that field, then they progress very fast. During the olden days, before World War I, you remember? World War I, that time, everybody is still so backward, education system or whatever. But they got weapon to kill each other, although very crude, rifle and all those things. Now, where got time for rifle? Now, missile, gone. Then now the plane becomes so sophisticated. Last time, the plane must carry the bomb and fly over and drop. Now, push button, intercontinental ballistic. Then laser and all those things. So it has become so different. So because of science and technology, they progress so fast. Then they realize initially got food problem, not enough food to go around and feed people. Then they got the agricultural revolution. They revolutionized food production. Then mechanization, industrialization, war again they developed. Then as this developed, they realize banking are too slow, cannot cope with business and all this. What they call information that is needed to be processed, because as population grow, you need more and more sophisticated technology in the form of computers and all those things. That's why after the agricultural revolution, the mechanization, the industrial revolution, then come what? Our latest one, high-tech boom, understand? High-tech IT. So when our present era, within the last 100 years, since the 1900, World War I, around that time, until now, we have progressed so fast. 1900-something, I remember, the White Brothers who actually discovered plane, they were so crude. Like glider, they push and jump off the slope. Remember? Now, 100 years later, we got supersonic plane. We got rocket that can go out of space. That can go intergalactical and all those things. So if you understand and you know it's important to have an open mind to receive new understanding and new idea, so spiritual field is the same. Do not close yourself. I only want to stick to one tradition, Theravada or whatever. Well, this will limit you. You will never know. Well, everything is evolving. And the world, you can see, the last 100 years, so much things has happened. Why do you want to allow your thought to limit you when you can move with consciousness and awareness? That's why you never go into the silent and be heedful. You can never understand the spiritual aspect of life. You can never penetrate the true Dhamma, because the real Dhamma is about awareness, sati. That's why the Buddha's advice is threefold. First two is thought-based. Avoid all evil, do good. That's why you got right effort. The third advice is purify your mind. That one is all awareness, sati, mindfulness about the true mind, about the true nature. And that one is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you don't have this ability to silence your mind and to detect that quality within you, that nature within you, that eternal life that was never born. That's why it never died. You can never penetrate the real Buddha Dhamma. Everything you learn is thought-based. Thought-based is knowledge. You become more and more rigid. You have a lot of knowledge, but you don't have Dhamma, the true Dhamma, that can live life, that can understand life, that can transform the understanding so that there is no more delusion, no more ignorance, so that there is clarity, there is understanding, there is wisdom. So all this is what heedfulness is all about. So if you can have this art of listening, you will benefit a lot. You will develop a lot of understanding within a very short span of time. You don't have to waste your time analyzing and doing all this thought-based style meditation. So this understanding is something that the world needs. That's why I want to share this before the conditions slip away. Because the last few days, people keep on talking to me about this Hu Pingjing Se On. Because that lady who came for the class, she was completely new, but she has been living in UK for 18 years, according to her. She is an engineer by profession, very intellectual, very intelligent. But I told her, you are very intellectual, you are very intelligent, but because you do not know what silent mind is, awareness is, you lack the instrument to develop wisdom. That's why you don't have much wisdom. At first she cannot accept. Then later on she accept. Those who were there, they know. Yeah, after the talk, we have a separate session, but pity is not recorded. Then people start to talk to me about this. Even today, Hui Ling and Joyce were talking to me. Then later on, Alicia came. And the same thing. Then Miss Lee was the one who started it with the recording. Throw the question and all the thing. Padmasri and Tune, they over there. They heard that face after the talk, the sharing. I just asked her a very simple question. She is very intellectual. Then only she finally knew that there is so much more thing beyond. Well, at first she cannot accept open mind. He said, if I don't filter and I don't screen, I cannot. He said, my approach, he said, is very scientific. He has his own expressed opinion of what she wants to listen to. So because of that, she keep on asking questions. He said. Then because of the way she asked her question, I think it bring about condition for this understanding to unfold. And also because of her good past too, where she has been looking for this truth for very long, but she doesn't know. In this life, the form of mind cannot understand. when I asked her, is it possible for you to be silent? She said, impossible. I said, why? She said, this thought is so active, you cannot stop thinking on it. Or to her, at that time, she will say that. Why? Because the thought tell her so. And I said, why did the thought tell her? You cannot stop thinking. If the thought say, yeah, you can stop thinking, means what? The thought must die, you know. You think the thought want to die. The thought refuse to die. If the thought die, there is no thought. So that's why the thought will tell you, crazy man, how not to think, man. Everything also you think. Every day also you think. So to her, it's like impossible. That's why it was a very interesting discussion with her. Then I just asked her a very simple question. I said, do you know what is the purpose of thought? You have been using thought for so long. Isn't it? Huh? She's not bad, no? You know what she said? Huh? She said, yeah, thought is very important. Without thought, you cannot. You are everything you need to think. I said, are you sure? I said, if you understand clearly thought, there is a purpose. And you have to understand that the user of thought is very important. No? Because thought is a tool or instrument for you to use to live life, no? To develop the understanding of life, no? And to do whatever that is appropriate in life. No? Then she initially cannot understand. No? I say thought is very useful. Eh? In the logical field, technological field, scientific field, that one you use thought, learning, putting everything, idea into clear terminology and everything. So for science and technology, yeah, the nature's law of Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama, which is the nature's physical law and biological law, you have to use thought, because this is knowledge, learning. And thought is very appropriate, because it is very suitable for mechanical thing, technical thing. Very precise one. 1 + 1, definitely 2. You cannot apply, say, man and woman married, 1 + 1 become 3. You cannot. Because out of the 2 and the 1, 3, one of them will die soon. Or later on, all 3 will die. So you cannot mix technical with what they call spiritual or emotion. So I said technology and all this, you can use thought, mechanical things, like you want to remember where you live, how you sign your check, you remember. Well, this is memory, this is thought-based. But when it comes to life, emotional, psychological, you can never use thought. You use thought, you are dead. Because thought is egoic. Thought can create delusion. Thought will make you believe that you are real, you exist. There is a personality within there. There is a thinker behind the thought. And because of that, you will develop delusion. Then this delusion will make you selfish. Because when you exist means what? You want to own things. You want to possess things. You want to have things. Correct or not? That is the beginning of selfishness. And all because of Sakkāya-ditthi, the ego, the entity that thought creates for you. Then when you are born into this world, given a birth cert with a name some more, your parent who, and your IC number, later your passport number, your identity is identified through what? Through thought. Thought that label you, I am so and so. Then you identify the physical, I am Chinese, I am male, I am how old. All this delusion created by thought, division created by thought, then later your belief system, all from thought. So psychological thing, emotional thing, regarding the spiritual understanding, you cannot use thought. You use thought you should die on. Why? Because thought will project. When thought project into the future, which is not a reality, you develop what? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. When you recall the miserable past, the scars of memory, you become unhappy, emotional and all those things. Then thought divide through words and all those things. So you use them for emotional and psychological argument, then conflict, which bring about suffering through your delusion, will keep on multiplying. That's why I say, you must know how to use thought. Use thought appropriately. Use thought with understanding. I say thought is like money, karena neither good or evil. It depends on the user. If the user is deluded, act according to memory, then he is not acting at all. What is memory? Accumulation of all your experiences, good and bad. Past experiences, which is within the field of the known. Then through thought you recall. Your thought is respond to memory. Then what happens when you recall? You will recall all your unhappy past, your insecurity, your fear, like snatch thief and all those things. All of your worry, your anxiety, your whatever negative emotion, all of your jealousy and all those things, envy. Then how people take advantage of you. And sometimes how you deceive people, cheat people, and take advantage of people. So all this accumulated memory, these are the conditioning that mold you. That's why when you act according to this memory, this conditioning, what happens? You act according to your selfishness, according to your fear, your worry, your sorrow, your lamentation. That's why you can hit out at people, and you can become miserable. But these are all evil roots. Before you become enlightened. So you cannot act based on memory, based on your accumulated experiences, your conditioning, your good and your bad and all those things. You act according to what? According to the Buddha, you act according to what? Wisdom. Very good. Wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding. Without negativity. That's why finally when you meditate, which is cultivating noble evil power, you develop wisdom. Then you can act. That's why you act with noble evil power. But you must act with understanding and wisdom. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Thought based, you are dead. But when you act according to your awareness, that see things as they are, that develop the wisdom and the understanding, then there is true action. And this action is not born of fear, selfishness, or greed, or emotional negativity, or fear. It is pure action, spontaneous within the moment. You know what is spontaneous? Spontaneous means not like ordinary people, no. They go and think before they act, no. Why, if I do this, advantage to me or not? Benefit me or not? Even donation also same. No? If I help them, later on will they help me? If my son marry that family, will it benefit my business? And my if you love that thing, means you act according to your memory that calculate behind. So, means what? Acting according to your greed and your selfishness for advantage, understand? That's why you are not acting at all. You don't act spontaneously with wisdom. Spontaneous means what? I don't try to go and check, you know, whether advantage or no advantage. Spontaneous means the moment I see, I understand, I act. Because there is wisdom, understand? This one needs understanding. The moment I understand, I don't think. What is thinking? Thinking is thought-based. It recalls memory. Then when it recalls memory, it's your conditioning, your belief system. And when you act according to that, it is all of your delusion. your selfishness. Means you are acting according to your delusion and selfishness. That's why Krishnamurti is very good. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Spontaneous action is the real action. That's why when conditioned like that, the understanding like that, you echo and flow and you will just know what to do. And there is spontaneous action. You don't go and think on. That's why the Buddha say the highest gift. Remember Abhidhamma? So manasa sahagatang, jnana sampayutang, asangkalikang. He said when these three criteria are met, it is the highest gift. The first criteria is what? Sumamasa sahagatanga, just like Bahasa Malaysia. At all time when you make offering, you must have joy before you give, when you give, and after you give. You must have this wholesome mind, joy. Then the second criteria is jnana. Jnana is wisdom, knowledge. Sampayutang. You act with understanding, wisdom. You know that this is wholesome. No negativity. Then the highest one is the third one. Asangkalikang, spontaneous, unprompted. Not prompted by your thought. Not prompted by others. That's all. Not the thought tell you, hey, do advantage to you. This will benefit you. No. Or somebody will tell you, hey, this one do lah, got merits or no. This one very virtuous or no, you do a higher merit. So. Prompted means what? The greed for merit. Your action is based on what? Greed. Even though it's wholesome as doing good. That's why the emperor, when he asked Bodhidharma, after building all the temples, supporting all the monks and the monastery, everything, how much merit has I cultivated? Bodhidharma said, zero. Wow, he very unhappy, but he cannot say it out. Yeah, he respect Bodhidharma. He got nothing to do with him. After that, he left Bodhidharma. Then he tell people, send him away. So that's why Bodhidharma went back to Shaolin Si, faced the wall for 9 years. Then later on, two wise ones advised the emperor. Then when the emperor relayed the story, you know what the two wise ones told the emperor? No? Bodhidharma was right, you say. You say, pardon me, you don't have the understanding to understand him. But he is an enlightened being. Enlightened being, merit, is pure merit. Pure merit means what? No greed, no hatred, no delusion. Yours one, you do with intention for the merit. You still believe that you have done a lot of merit. There is an I behind your doing. Then the emperor said, Ladera, how? Invite him back. He asked the general to invite him. They show you on the show. With the horse try to pull, cannot move. That was what Bodhidharma is all about. Then only until the successor, Erzhu, when he came and kneeled in front of Bodhidharma, then only he came out from that posture. And talk to him. Then finally accepted him as the disciple and inherited the patriarchship from him. So all these teachings are very beautiful. So what I want you to understand today is the art of listening. Open mind, silent mind. Then act according to wisdom. No more according to memory. Then thought-based meditation can never liberate you, where the instrument limit you. You cannot go beyond thought. Where the real understanding, awakening, the Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. And it's akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So the instrument you use is thought, limit you from understanding whatever that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Where that is your true mind. Your true nature, the silent nature, no words, no concept, nothing inside there. That's why Hui Ning said originally there was nothing, penai wu yu, cannot come out and live, not a human being, not a living being. You cannot describe by anything. It's just that true nature, the pure nature, before creation. That's why the eternal life, there was never born. If you cannot meditate until you silent and touch that, you cannot understand life. You cannot penetrate the real Buddha Dhamma. You cannot understand the full real teaching of all Sammasambuddha. So this is something that tonight I feel is very important that we share this. Wow, we got left with 20 minutes, so we continue Diamond Sutta. So now turn to page 6. From beginningless kapas until now, you have always take that for your mind. This was talking to Ananda. To do so is like thinking a thief is your son, and it makes you lose the knowledge of your eternal source. Now got meaning or not this sentence? You know who is the thief or not? To do so is like thinking a thief is your son, because that thought. What is that thought doing? Since young, since birth until you are what you are today, you rely so much on thought, isn't it? You trusted your thought so much, isn't it? You're all along, it's like your good friend, isn't it? Like your filial son. You depend on it to live life. But you never knew, you know, all of the suffering that you are going through all come from this so-called filial son. You know? Actually, this is the one that con you and delude you and make you miserable. But you cannot see, you know. It's just like you give birth to your son. No? My son, no. How can you say he do all those things to me? He's my son, no. I give him birth, no. I gave birth to him, no. I gave him life, no. I supported him, no. How can he do this to me? Who is the thought? You also give birth to the thought, isn't it? Correct, no? Your nature, every moment also give birth to the thought. Is it my son, no? I give birth. But this is the one that make you deluded, attached, cling, and develop all the misery, you know, the grasping, the clinging, and suffering, the fear, worry, anxiety. And you cannot see. You know. That's why Shakyamuni Buddha told Ananda, from beginningless kapha until now, you have always taken that for your mind. Means the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, for your true mind, understand not? To do so is like thinking a thief is your son. And it makes you lose the knowledge of your eternal source. This is what I mean by eternal life. Your true nature, the eternal life that is never born. That's why it never die. That is your eternal. They use the word source. Or true nature. Or original nature. That source is the eternally indestructible, precious nature. See? Your true nature. The enlightened bright mind, or your true mind. For that reason, you appear and disappear endlessly in the sixth path of the turning wheel. You know what is the sixth path or not? Liu Tao Lun Hui. The 31 plane of existence, Mahayana, modified into the sixth path. It's in our Heart Sutta book, in the appendix, the three wall, 31 plane. Mahayana's description is the sixth path. Sixth path actually is the same as the 31 plane of existence. The bottom five is the same. The Manusa, human being, and the four woeful state, the demon. Then you have the petas, the animal, rhyme. Then the petas, then the hell rhyme. These five remain the same. But the sixth rhyme, they call it Tian Fa Jie in Mahayana. They cover all the heavenly rhyme, including devas, brahmas, and the formless rhyme. That's why it's called Tian Fa Jie. So they always talk about Liu Tao Lun Hui, the sixth path of samsara. You always take birth within this sixth rhyme, which is actually the 31 plane of existence. Okay, can follow? Any question or not? If not, we move on. Anybody got any question? Don't have, then we move on. The third mind, got third mind. is true suchness mind, which is real prajna. The true suchness mind is so great, there is nothing beyond it, and so small that there is nothing within it. It will find nothing smaller or larger than true suchness. True suchness mind is the vajra mind, the real nature of every one of us. So actually it's another way of expressing the true nature, the original nature, the oneness nature. You know why they call it the third mind? Because this one is the ultimate, understand not? But when you actually use the silent mind to meditate and penetrate, that is actually not the whole thing, understand not? That is just the awareness, understand not? That one is not the whole thing, understand not? That one is the silent mind, just aware, understand not? Before the knowing, that's why it's silent. But it's not the whole nature. So you want to divide like that, then you got three. But for meditation, only two. True mind and mundane mind, conditioned arising mind. They go and add third mind. Not bad. That's why it's called true suchness. That's why he said the real nature of every one of us. Because that is the oneness nature. Everybody has this Buddha nature. Understand? And it's only one nature, no division, nothing. You are never apart from each other. That's why when you see beyond form, beyond the conscious mundane thinking mind, the conditioned mind, then you see the true mind, you see that nature, then we are all one. There is no person inside there, understand not? That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. Even the ultimate suchness, non-self, no being inside there, is a nature. So the scientists call it the singularity. From there, everything come to be. Okay, we go on. Prajna. Green bamboo, yellow flower, everything is prajna. So now you understand. That's why I told you what? Life itself is the? Life itself is what? Life itself is what? Life itself is the? Meditation, isn't it? It is within life that you develop prajna, isn't it? Wisdom, isn't it? Your life is about reality, isn't it? Here and the now, isn't it? That's why everything is prajna, understand? Whatever within existence is prajna. That's why bamboo tree, what flower, even Alicia is prajna. Everything is prajna. Whatever that is within life, existence is prajna. No more space to write, you write your own. Life itself is the meditation. Meditation develops wisdom, prajna. So when you understand that, everything is prajna, understand? Well, whatever that is within life is prajna. But do you realize one thing? The book never explained. You realize? A lot of things I explain to you. The book only write, never explain. So how are you going to understand? You realize? That's why it's not easy to share, understand? If you have not developed the understanding, you cannot share. The Sanskrit word prajna is included among the five kind of terms not translated, which were established by Dhamma Master. This one is Xuan Zang. Xuan Zhuang. Is it the Tang San Zang? Is it that monk who went to India? Should be, Tong Sam Zhong, Xuan Zhang. We assume Islam. The least comprised term, not translated because they are secret, have many meanings. refer to something not existing in the translator's country. Traditionally has not been translated and are honored term. Although prajna could be translated as wisdom, since it contains many meanings, the original Sanskrit is retained. There are three types of prajna. This one we have gone through. This one is actually exactly like the Theravada definition. Yeah? The first one is what? Literally, prajna means what? Yeah, Suttamaya Panya, but how does it come about? Literary means what? Reading, hearing. Yeah? Because when you read literature, and you listen to poem and all those things, that's why literary means listening, hearing, reading. You develop wisdom, that type of prajna. So it's Suttamaya Panya. The Buddha called it the first turning wisdom. Then second one is what? Contemplative prajna. Now you know. You reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what the Buddha said. Then you develop more stable wisdom. Then you start to stabilize and assimilate all those understanding that you have reflected upon, you have contemplated and inquire into. Then the understanding, as you stabilize, you assimilate it in, that become the second turning wisdom. We call it Chintamaya Panya under Theravada. The third one is real mark prajna. Oh, what is real mark prajna? Real mark means what? Real mark means enlightened mark. But the real mark is no mark. when there is a mark, it's not a real mark. That's why Mahayana Mandarin very profound, very difficult to understand. So our third turning wisdom is called Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of enlightenment. That's why it's real mark prajna. Understand? So they can use different words, but you can understand them. Understand? The sutta which elucidate the principle of prajna may be grouped in 8 divisions and also fall into 10 categories, which are the Great Prajna Sutta. It consists of 600 volumes of prajna literature. When Tipitaka Master Xuanzang translated the Great Prajna Sutta, this one like miracle, the peach tree blossoms 6 times in 1 year. Wow. Durian can fruit 6 times in a year. Yeah, that one must be king of all fruits. But during the translation period, the blossom open and fall approximately once every 2 months or 6 times during the year. Wow. The light emitted by Prajna Sutta, consisting of 30 volumes, was spoken by the Buddha as he emit light. Then the Mahaprajna Sutta also consists of 30 volumes. Wow, you want to study Sutta, how to finish? And although Maha means great, this sutta is not the Great Prajna Sutta listed above. The light praise Prajna Sutta, which consists of 10 volumes, is so named because while speaking prajna, the Buddha emitted light to praise it. The way conduct Prajna Sutta consists of 10 volumes. The shorter chapter on Prajna Sutta also consists of 10 volumes. The Prajna Sutta of victorious heavenly king consists of 7 volumes. The Prajna Sutta of humane king who protects his country consists of 2 volumes. The real mark Prajna Sutta is complete in 1 volume. The Manjusri question and Prajna Sutta also consists of 1 volume. Within those 10 categories contain a total of 701 volume of Prajna Sutta. Wow, you study Sutta, you cannot finish. One Sutta a day, also 2 years to finish. You can finish one Sutta a day. Cannot. So sometimes we go 1.5 year for hard Sutta. Wow, so how many years? An assembly of Dhamma should include consideration of the places in which the Buddha spoke Dhamma and the number of assembly that received the teaching. The Prajna teaching was spoken in 4 places at 16 assembly. Wow. So all this you just go through, is for knowledge, You don't have to remember them because they are not the essential teaching. Next page, 7 assembly was held at Vultures Park. You know where is this place? Vultures Peak, sorry. Raja? How to pronounce Raj? I don't know how to pronounce that word. Sarvati is different. 7 assembly were held in the city of Sarvati, in the Jetavana Grove, in the gardens of benefactor of orphan and solitary. There is where the Vajra Sutta was spoken. Diamond Sutta spoken at Ananda Pindika Jeta Grove, Sarvati. 1 assembly was held in the Money Jewel Treasury Palace of the Bliss from Others, Transformation Heaven. This one is, I think, when he went up and preached to the mother. This one is Tusita Heaven, I think. 1 assembly was held beside the White Heron Pond in the Bamboo Forest Park near the House of King. So all these are the Mahayana way of maybe classifying all those. Then the Vajra Sutta Prajna Paramita was spoken at the 3rd assembly held at the 2nd location, Jetavana Grove. So the sutta begins, "Thus have I heard at one time the Buddha was staying in Sarvati in Jetavana Grove in the garden of the benefactor of orphanage and the solitary. Of the 3 kinds of prajna, literary, contemplative and real monk, literary prajna arise from the study of sutta. But a true understanding of the literature only comes through contemplative prajna. Contemplative wisdom fully developed penetrate the final goal, real monk prajna. If prajna does not manifest, it is simply an indication that the basic wisdom inherent in all people has not been brought to fruition. The wisdom which is real monk prajna arises only when nourished by the water of literary and contemplative prajna." You know what is the meaning or not? What did I share with you all last time? The first turning and second turning are what? They prepare you to receive awakening. Understand or not? Because the first turning and second turning wisdom are very important, especially second turning, because they are the base for you to receive subsequent understanding. Then after that, when you have this base established, then when you cultivate the meditation, you go into bhavana, any of the first turning, second turning, or third turning, they can trigger off enlightenment. So sometimes while you cultivate, all of a sudden you just heard somebody speak the sutta, you were awakened. That was what happened to me in the year 1989. My second last teacher just moved her hand. Didn't even say anything. Just move her hand, tongue. The moment I saw with the silent mind, the whole 3 characteristics, I understood profoundly. Not like Hui Ning. Hui Ning heard the Diamond Sutta. This one I just see, direct seeing, zup. Straight away, he understand. Then a lot of things can actually happen. That's why if you have the understanding, you spend more time on the first and second turning, especially second turning. I got this Thai teacher, Achan Yantra, very good. He reminded me no less than 6 times when I was with him alone. He said we choose contemplate until very, very clear. When it becomes very clear means that Dhamma stabilizes in you. Then you are ready to receive truth. Anything can trigger off. Like Achan Cha, you know how he became awakened. he was doing walking meditation. Suddenly the village there having a ceremony. Then he heard this sound. Then all of a sudden, zuck, the heart there silent completely. Then he went in. Then when he come out of it, he fully understood the Dhamma. He didn't hear anything. He hear the sound. The villager sound, not Dhamma. How come like that? Because condition is such. Because you remember just now Shenhua say, everything is prajna. Understand not? It's not only the sutta is prajna. Anything is prajna. That's why my teacher's hand movement is prajna. Understand not? Then whatever. Sometimes Xu Yun, remember the hot water? Huh? The tea? He just dropped. Then the glass broke. The cracking of the sound that moment, he become fully enlightened. He was not meditating. He just fully aware. And that moment, that instant, everything just happened. That's why he say like space pulverized, he went into cessation. Then after that he understood the nature. Yeah. So enlightenment is not what you think, wow, must meditate until. No. But also not easy. Yeah. You have to reflect, contemplate, and you have to do your homework. Understand? No? You have to have the faith, diligent, then the faith, then persevere. Then just do. Don't try to know. When you try to know the thought coming, you cannot awaken. All those who awaken, now you go and check, no thought. When happen also, they don't know. But when it happened, they will know. The form and mind will know. Yeah. But before that, they don't know. So all this, you can actually develop the understanding. Yeah? Okay, maybe we stop there. Huh? The next one is paramita. Paramita is perfection. Eh? You can go back and read it up a bit. Then you got any question, huh? Maybe you can ask. Anybody, you got any question, huh? Or want to share anything? Quan San smile. Got question? You want to share something? Huh? Yeah, use the mic. Pass the mic to him. Huh? Yeah. Push it up all the way. Ah, okay, already.
Brother Teo.
Yeah, yes.
Deep inside me, right, sometimes as I travel, sometimes I see those, you know, those Korean people and some, you know, Malaysian,
I know.
Trendy, they have that tar travel bag.
I know.
Deep in my heart, I like silently wanted that bag.
Then the bag come.
Then this morning.
The bag come.
The bag come.
Yeah. Your mind is so powerful, you didn't know. That's why you don't know how to use them. But when there is a greed for it to come, it never come, I tell you. But when there is a pure wish or pure intention, your nature can cause it to arise. And this is very common. All cultivator has that ability. And when it comes, it's so amazing.
But then that one is not the point, you know.
Then what is the real point?
My colleague, because the company gave that back. It's a birthday gift for the month.
Yes.
Then my friend, my colleague asked, wow, so nice. I also want. Then I don't know what I did. I test my Dana Parami. You know?
Oh, shit.
You take.
Then come another one.
No, not come another one. So I was watching how I react. I was watching my reaction.
So you just give it to your colleague.
So I said, take. Then after that, I watch. I regret. I always wanted that bag.
Yeah. But if you don't regret, you will get more. But because you regret, I don't know.
So I was watching and watching and watching.
That's why I don't allow the thought to do things like that. When you already have that understanding or what they call that good mind to just give, then you don't tell yourself, try. Cannot want this type of thing for you to try. Understand? This one is not girlfriend, no. Girlfriend can try. This one is spiritual is not for you to try. So spiritual is understanding. When condition is like that, it will be like that. But when you try to boast it and tell people, it never appear and function. Understand? That's why you cannot simply say things. Even when you know that it's coming, you will know one. The sign will come on as you cultivate. You will know one. Then when it happens, you will know one. You will smile. Then let it be. Understand? Then if you really have that nature that wants to give, then it will be very spontaneous. No regret one another. Then the moment you spontaneously did that, I tell you, you will be very, very surprised. A lot of things will start to happen. Then your parami. There was a story during the Buddha's time. One couple share one sarong, one, you know. This person, if I'm not wrong, I think later, he was one of the chief disciples of the Buddha, is it? Yeah? In later life. Oh no, that time was Sakyamuni Buddha's time. Was it Sakyamuni Buddha? They share the sarong, the husband and wife. Yeah? Then they take turn to go and listen to Dhamma, you know. Then because the Buddha was talking about this giving thing, it was so profound, you know? But the husband scared, you know? If I give, no more sarong for me, no more sarong for my wife. Oh. So how? So that fear has been creating the battle in his mind. And you know what happened? Because of his faith was so strong, he decided to give. Then he took out the sarong. He threw it out of the window and tell that person. He said, I have finally defeated the Mara. Is it? The Mara that put fear in me, is it? There is so much joy. Now I have done. I offered my only sarong to the Buddha. I asked that person to pass it to the Buddha. And when they delivered that, this person relayed the incident. No? Then it so happened the king was there. No? Then the king said, I want to see this person. Then he asked the palace people, then bring all the sarong, give it to him and let him wear a nice one to see him. That's how when you give one, you receive so many. But you don't go and give your own trousers away.
Yeah. The thing, Brother Teo, is as I was watching all these thoughts, right, I can see how they proliferate. I mean, from the moment that my wish to use that bag. It went by like that, you know. First I said, take lah. Then after that, the thought came. But I want to use it for my Kuantan trip. Because every month, I go to Kuantan to do sales. So I thought...
So you see how your thought tell you.
But I don't know how to react.
That's why it's not you say you don't know how to react. The thought has been actually making all these things for you. What you don't see is a thought. Who regret? The thought regret. Who wants to give? It's still at the thought level. Understand? It's not spontaneous. Understand? If spontaneous, there is no regret. Understand? Wow, give already the crevice. The ayo, I needed that bag so much. How can I give away? Understand? Then you say you watch. You didn't watch. The thought is actively saying all these things and creating all this duality in you. If you really watch with the understanding and the true mind, there is no response. The five aggregate of form in mind is empty. You understand that these are all conditioned arising. When your nature like that, you have this type of parami. When you have this type of pure wish, the pure wish will condition it to arise. And sometimes the way it arises, you never can really believe. It's so amazing. And it keep on coming on. Non-stop. Then, because you know it's from your parami and your pure wish. That's why the moment this pure wish arises, it causes things to arise. It not only arises now, it causes things to arise. It will actually override all other worldly conditions. Then it will cause that thing to arise. Then it will happen. But sometimes it's at the expense of others. That's why after I came to know one incident, I don't want to use that pure wish anymore. Then I just stop it. I qualify it by saying, if it's for the good of the many, only let it arise. Otherwise, don't use it. No point. Unless there is condition. There is condition for things to happen and arise. You will come to know as you cultivate knowledge. The nature will know. It's not thought. If it's thought, can regret or not, all this is still thought. But it's something that you learn. That's why it's good to share, so at least I can explain to you. Because these are Dhamma that the book never write one. So unless you have that ability to understand, it's not easy to share this type of thing. But if I really don't know, I tell you I don't know. Like the four Buddha, five Buddha, I'm not sure. I say I'm not sure. That's why you all go and check. Because for me, it's memory thing. I'm not good. Language, I'm not good. You off the thing already, right? Because of that, see? Condition arising. You didn't off, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, non-stop. That's why you will have distortion, disturbing the recording. But for us, we can take it, no problem. But then the compassion is, if people listen, the cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, then they don't get the message. Some of them can become unhappy. Who is the guy who never off that thing? You kena ready for nothing. So next time, learn to be sensitive, mindful, aware. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So don't panic, don't fear, don't react, understand? Find out, understand? So everything in life is Dhamma, understand? It's Prajna. But when you cannot understand, it becomes suffering, understand? You complain. Who the hell is it? Why is it there? Then the day I whooping Jesus like that. For no reason before we start, that thing, a lot of noise from that machine. You ask them and say, a lot of noise from the machine. Then they were trying to turn here, turn there. Then I say, no, it's the switch. So we got off one of the switch. Then it's gone. Then after that, come back again. Then this time we learn. He went and pulled the plug off the fan. Because there was a socket that share the player and the fan. So pull out the plug of the fan. Really no distortion anymore. Don't go and be superstitious, got non-human queer. Forget about this. Everything can be explained very scientifically and technically. It's your mind that don't have the faith that make you think, I think queer. God spirit. But sometimes it does happen, God. But you will know one. When that thing is behind, you will know one. Then you have to accord and flow. You don't go and fight them. You say, shh, shh. You don't go and shoot them and chase them away. Or you don't go on the chanting tape and fight them. I tell you, you kena upside down. At peace with them, understand? Smile, talk to them nicely. That's why the real Dhamma got no mark on. No rigid mark on. You accord and flow with understanding. You act with wisdom, with understanding. Okay, we better end. We exceeded some time. Almost 9 minutes. Okay. So go back and read up a bit on Prajna. Prajna finished. Paramita. Then you got any question, you can write down. Then next class, we can discuss some more. This is better. No need to go direct into the sutta. So boring. Well, sometimes this sutta for new people, it's like not easy to follow. No. How you all find it? Today, because I make it interesting, that's why it become like very interesting. But sometimes very dry inside there. We have no teaching on. So it depends. But we have some meditation, then we have some sharing. I think that will make it more complete, understand? Because now it's not so much of sutta alone. Sutta is needed, but not the full thing. The full thing is the clear understanding. Yeah, now I realize the consciousness is very different. People can understand. So now my nature tell me you must emphasize on understanding the art of listening. Then why silent? What is heedfulness? What is heedlessness? Last time only the word, you know. Then because I explain, because I speak from my understanding, you all cannot catch it on, because if I don't give enough example, you all sure catch no ball and they are both cure. So I have to give enough example. That's why sometimes you think I repeat, but it's no, it's approaching from different direction, and there is condition, I give more example. Because as I do this, the understanding become clearer. And this one cannot be like immediately I go to that level, cannot. Well, it has evolved over the years. If I had started teaching like that, nobody will understand, all run away. But because over the years, there are people who understand, then now the terminology used is clearer, easier to follow. You are more used to the style and the approach and the terminology. That's why the recording is very important, and you all should thank Brother Sui An and all those who help out in the recording, like Hui Rong, Sister Stephanie Dale, together with Sister Lee. So these are the people who has helped to bring about the condition for such clear recording to be recorded. And you thank Sui An, he bought this machine and recorder, very cheap and very clear. And we all Kayanamita got to partake in it, only Kayanamita fund can buy and use for the recording and all those things. Then the transcript book also. But these are all the conditions for Kayanamita to actually receive all this wholesomeness, to actually make full use of this wholesomeness for your progress along the path of Dhamma. So all this we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will dedicate and transfer all these merits. First, we will share this merit with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and all those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy. Okay, we will do the invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. I think there are some food and drinks. Some of the sisters has actually prepared them for you. So you can have your whatever food. Sister.